Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Amore, Part 1, by Bella Jewell. Narrated by Noel Bridges and Eric London. Prologue. I stare into his eyes. Raffaele Lencioni's soulless, perfect brown eyes. They're the kind of eyes you never forget, not for a single second of your life. His fingers are curled around my arm. His mouth is millimeters from mine, and his breath is hitting my cheek in short, hard bursts. It's been days since I ran from him, and if I didn't know better, I'd say the comfort that I feel from standing here in front of him is real. But we both know it isn't. His lies are breaking my heart. He's tearing it into 1,000 tiny pieces because I have to do something I honestly believed I'd never have to do. There was one rule I shouldn't have broken. He was never meant to mean anything to me. My own brown eyes don't disconnect from his. Instead, we just stare at one another, so much passing between us, the main thing being a sense of desperation. A desperation to change a life we have no say over.
"Why, Julietta?"
he rasps, his voice low, deep, and husky. I love the way he says my name like he means it, like it'll be the only name he ever murmurs for the rest of his life.
"Answer me,"
he demands carefully, precisely, with an order you can't shy away from, even though he's not raising his voice. His hand gently moves from my arm up my neck, and there he cups my jaw, bringing my face closer as if he's going to kiss me. But he's not. He won't. Not here, not in public. That would break all the rules, and Raphael does not break rules. That's the problem. That's always been the problem.
"Let me go, Raph,"
I breathe, trying to move away from those intense brown eyes.
"Not until you tell me why."
Why I'm here. Why I ran from him. Why I've avoided him. Because I had to. I have to. I can't take it anymore. The lies, but mostly the pain. The intense, desperate pain. The agony of needing someone you can't have. It leaves me only one choice. I'm going to do the one thing I know will make him turn his back on me. The one thing I know will make him run in the opposite direction. The one thing I'm certain will ensure he doesn't come back. The thought of never again touching him, kissing him, laughing with him makes my heart twist and an agonizing ache forms in the pit of my stomach. But I have to do it. I have to. For him. For me. For us. So I part my lips and say the words that'll take him from my world forever. "I'm in love with you." I see it before my words are finished leaving my lips. I see the way his eyes flash. I see the way his body stiffens and he straightens. Looking broken, looking confused, looking furious. His hand slides from my jaw and everything inside me screams to reach out and grab it back, but I don't. I let it fall, taking my heart along with it. He takes a step back and I watch his eyes shut down right along with his body. I watch him shove my words into a place he doesn't allow himself to access. He turns away, putting his back to me, letting me know my words have achieved what I wished. Before he's gone, he looks back over his shoulder and gives me eyes I'll probably never see again. I try to capture his face in my memory, try to remember every curve and every line, try to remember how rich his laugh is, and how he makes my heart pound. Brown eyes connect with mine, and in a low, husky voice, he murmurs,
"I told you not to do that."
Chapter 1.
"Julietta, you look stunning,"
my mama says, leaning down and kissing both of my cheeks, her perfume washing over my senses and reminding me to make sure I put on my own before I go out tonight. "Thank you, Mama," I smile, hugging her and then stepping back. Tucking a long strand of perfectly straight hair behind her ear, she asks,
"Are you going out with Celia?"
I nod, knowing what's coming even before I answer her. "Yes, we're going to that new club in town."
My mama's face scrunches, and when she does that, she looks just like me. Both her and my father are Italian, but her father had an English background, so my mother isn't full Italian. I'm a good mix of both my parents, with hints of my mother's heritage in me, which shows in my hair, which is light, mousy brown, not the norm for an Italian. I have fair olive skin and brown eyes with thick lashes from my father. I also have a light scattering of freckles across my nose, which, Mama tells me, are from her. I wish those would kindly remove themselves. I don't know about that club. She keeps frowning and then leans in closer, her eyes wide, and whispers, "You do know who runs that, don't you?" I roll my eyes. Mama, I know, but everyone goes there. It's not dangerous, it's just a club. "It's run by members of the Mafia," she whisper yells, her eyes flaring with a dramatic pop. I smile at her, trying to smother my laughter. When she gets like this, it can get pretty hilarious. She has a flair for the dramatic. "And?"
"And you know how they are in this town."
"Mama," I scoff. "They don't bother anyone who isn't messing with their business. There are worse people out there. Celia has already been, and she said it's amazing. Besides, I'm 24. I don't actually require permission." She flicks her arms around and then waves her finger in my face, a trait she got from my father's mama, Francesca. That woman expresses everything with her hands. If she's talking or laughing or yelling, she's got her hands moving at a quick pace.
"Don't you give me that kind of lip, young lady,"
Mama says, her eyes serious.
"You're still my daughter."
"A daughter who lives on her own, has a career, and isn't stupid," I point out, also waving my finger, only a little.
"It doesn't matter."
She frowns, dropping her hands and crossing them over her chest.
"That club isn't the place for a girl like you."
I raise my brows. "A girl like me?
Nice, sweet, smart. You don't need to be getting up in the space of anyone involved with the Lencioni family."
"I'm going to drink and dance. That's it. I'm not getting up in anyone's space. It'll be fine. Now I have to get going. Celia is waiting for me." Mama shakes her head and crosses her arms over her chest.
"Your father will not like this."
"He'll be fine," I scoff. "He doesn't even need to find out." She looks horrified at the thought of keeping a secret from him.
"He knows everything that goes on in this town, Julie. He'll find out."
I raise my brows and throw back.
"He thinks he knows everything in this town, but trust me, he isn't as important as he believes."
My father is a businessman and runs a local sanitation company. He knows a lot of people. He also thinks he's the king of Chicago. He would probably have a conniption if he knew I was going anywhere near the Lencionis. But it's just a fun night out. He has nothing to worry about.
"You don't get your sass from me,"
she mocks as I kiss her cheek. "I absolutely do.
Later, Mama."
I turn and rush out before she can get another word in. I only popped by because I left my shoes here. Next time I'll wear a different pair. I adore my parents, but they can be slightly over-controlling. I guess it's because I'm their only child, and because of that, they tend to wrap me in cotton wool. They don't believe I can do anything on my own without their watchful eye. That's fine with me, but I've always been a free spirit, and I don't intend on changing that.
"Oh my God,"
I cry, clapping my hands together and refraining from leaping up and down on the spot.
"This club is amazing!"
Celia takes hold of my arm, a huge grin on her pretty face.
"It's incredible, right?"
"Absolutely," I gasp, staring at the intense, beautiful space. It's sleek, modern, and huge. There are several floors overflowing with people. On the top part, they're leaning over the balcony, talking and watching the patrons below. The swank interior is decked out in a blue and black theme. The floors are black, the bars and booths are blue, and there are flashing lights hanging from the ceiling that change from flicking to pulsing every few seconds.
There is a massive dance floor in the middle of the room, and it's packed. Breathtaking.
Come on, let's see if we can get a drink,
Celia says, pulling me through the crowd. The men around us make a line so we can move through with ease. That's not surprising. Celia is tall, dark-haired, and stunning. She's wearing a tight red dress and heels that scare even me, they're so tall. She walks in tall heels with ease, like she was born to move in them. My own hair is down, curled, and flowing around my back. My dress is equally as tight and black, dropping down to my hip at the back. My heels are black, strappy, and high, but not nearly as high as hers. A group of men in suits grin at us as we pass them, and I flash my best smile. I'm a serial flirt. Celia tells me I should have been a male, but it's just how I am. I'm in no way cheap, but I love giving the guys something to talk about. And a little flirting always does the trick.
Ladies?
Grins one of the well-dressed males. We both nod and keep pushing through to the bar. It takes around 10 minutes to get a drink, but finally we're sipping Cosmos and moving back through the swarm of people to find a booth. There aren't any free, so we opt for standing near the dance floor, swaying our hips to the music as we take in the crowd and the people who range from dancing to drinking to making out.
So, you impressed?
Celia asks as she leans over and yells in my ear. I nod and give her the thumbs up, letting my eyes travel over the space again. I see at the top right there is a huge room that seems to be made entirely of glass. It looks as if it's hanging over the club in a sense. Its sharp, pointed edges hover over a quarter of the club floor. My guess is the people who own this place are sitting in there right now, watching the crowd. We can't see in, but I have no doubt they can see out.
You think they're watching us right now?
Celia asks, looking up and following my vision. I shrug, then grin as a hilarious idea hits me. Along with being a flirt, I'm also a serial shit-stirrer.
I don't know. We should totally do something and see if we can get their attention.
Celia giggles.
Oh my god, that would be funny.
It really would. I grin, still looking up at the glass room.
Let's make faces at it. Oh man, no way.
She chuckles.
Come on, it'll be funny.
She shakes her head.
It's the mafia in there. They might shoot us.
I scoff.
They won't shoot us. People probably mess with them all the time.
She thinks on it for a second, then nods.
You're probably right. Come on, let's have a little fun.
Don't make me dare you. I know you can't say no to a dare. She feigns shock.
You wouldn't.
I grin. She grins. She's in. I put my thumbs up to my ears and wiggle my fingers, poking my tongue out. Celia jumps in beside me and we start pulling crazy faces. People around us laugh out loud and some of them call us immature, but if we cared, well, we don't, so it's beside the point. Hell, I'm sure they can't see us anyway.
Chapter 2. Raphael. Are you seeing this, Raph? My brother Vincent says, hands on the glass looking down at the two girls staring right up at the office, pulling faces. I'm seeing it, I murmur, my voice low but clipped, focusing on the girls below. My eyes train in on the one who started it all. From this far, it's hard to see what she looks like clearly, but what I can see is that she's got hair that makes her look luscious and extremely feminine, long legs and a killer body. Obviously she's got sass, too. My mouth twitches as I stare down at her and her friend, who are currently sticking their fingers in their noses and pulling them up to make pig faces. Vin is grinning.
Don't they know who owns this club?
Clearly they don't care, I say, leaning back in my chair and crossing my arms.
Sassy little things, he murmurs, his eyes trained on the other girl in her red dress that can barely pass as a scrap of material.
I say, watching a group of men around them who have slowly been moving in closer, eyes on the prize. Girls who look like that draw attention, but mostly girls who act like that, cute and
Sample complete. Ready to continue?